We know Taco Bell's food is great. They've even got a whole new cantina menu with fresh new ingredients. Taco Bell is not just for late night anymore. With fresh new ingredients like slow roasted chicken, pico de gallo, purple cabbage, and new avocado verde salsa sauce. Taco Bell is a great destination for your midday fuel. They have amazing menu items like cantina chicken tacos, burritos, and quesadilla. I truly do love Taco Bell. I love a Crunchwrap Supreme. It is one of my favorite things to eat. Ooh, don't wait till it's late. Try the new cantina chicken menu now. Did you know that it's Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month? Macy's is highlighting some really cool AAIP-owned brands right now, like Carden, Kaja, Emilia George, and Hey Meave. Plus, you can help support college access and student success when you donate online or round up in-store to APIA Scholars. APIA is the nation's leading nonprofit organization devoted to the academic, personal, and professional success of Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander students. Shop Asian American and Pacific Islander-owned brands at Macy's.com or in-store. The podcast where I try to figure out why I'm so single, even though I will put your balls in my mouth with no questions asked. Ooh, oh boy. My guest today, she's so funny. She's one of the funniest stand-ups I've ever seen, and she's beautiful. Her skin is flawless. She did an episode of my show, Loosely Exactly Nicole, in the second season. She also has a podcast called Honesty with Z. Zainab Johnson!
Hi! Hey!
I say your name correctly, yes?
You say Zainab? It perfect.
Okay. Because yes, when we were on set, our AD could not figure out how to say your name, and then would say it, and we'd be like, no, and then he would repeat it incorrectly and be like, well, what's wrong?
Yeah, it's like, I've actually not had that problem a lot of times on TV sets. It seems like on TV sets, they really try to get it.
I think they understand that it's disrespectful.
Yeah, like it's just, like just professional courtesy. It's yeah, like, get the actor's name right. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a pretty name.
Thank you.
Does it mean anything?
It means, it's an Arabic name, and so it can be translated to, in English, as an aromatic tree or a father's precious gift.
Oh.
And my dad named me, so I kind of feel special.
That's so sweet.
Also, any like Islamic religion, because it's a Muslim name.
Are you Muslim?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, because I don't cover up and I curse and I do all the shit that you ain't. Can we curse?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, please.
I do everything non-Muslim, but I do everything Muslim in my life too. But anyway, there's a story that people feel like a religious story. It's like the Muslim women who have to cover up, it's because of Zainab. So it's a long story. I won't bore you with it. But
oh no, so you're making all these women have to cover up.
I'm a pressing.
Can we talk about being Muslim?
Of course we can. Yeah.
I don't think I've ever, obviously I've met Muslim people. Obviously I've talked to them, but I don't think I've ever talked to them in depth about it. Mm-hmm. Were you born Muslim?
I was born Muslim, but my parents weren't.
Oh, okay. So they converted.
They converted. They were both born Christian. Mm-hmm. They converted apart from one another before they ever met.
Oh.
Yeah. And then they met and they got married. And my mom was like a hippie, you know, like this is like they met in like the late 70s. And she's like a hippie. And my dad is like this strict, like military guy who was like came from like a biracial home and you know, really wanted to be pro-black. and so he was like a part of the Nation of Islam and made my mom like really be a Muslim. Like I think she was like teetering like that, like this. But my mom was like, my dad was like, you're going to do it. Yeah.
You love me, you'll do it.
Yeah. And then we're all Muslim. All the kids are Muslim.
I think it's interesting that there is such like a
Muslim Islamic fear in America, mm-hmm. but I don't think people realize they interact with like Muslims every day. Like there's so it's the biggest religion, isn't it?
It's the fastest growing religion in the world.
Uh-huh.
And it's a really it's the second largest, I believe, in maybe not. It's probably Christian in the United States, probably Christianity, Judaism, and then,
I don't think so.
No?
I don't think there's a lot of Jewish people.
Okay, maybe they're just Jewish by culture.
I don't know.
It's always weird with Jewish people. Yes. It's like, do you like, no, we're Jewish by cult, like, but mm-hmm. not by faith. And it's like, oh, I thought it was a religion.
Same. Okay. So growing up, I went to school with a lot of Jewish
kids. Me too.
So I thought they were just white kids. So I thought some white people were Christians and some white people were Jewish people. But now I've been told that Jewish is an ethnicity and they aren't white people. And my mind still has a hard time wrapping its head around it.
So I think you could say the same thing. Like, I think there's a certain group of people that believe that Muslim is culture-based as well. Mm-hmm. You know, like you have to be from a certain part of the world to actually be Muslim. But it's a faith.
Mm-hmm.
It's a faith. It's you're asking somebody to believe in something. And so mm-hmm. not to mention, I mean, you know, the white man has lied about so many things. I tried to put on my black Israelite voice because, I mean, you know, in like on Hollywood and Highland in Harlem, there's mm-hmm. like a group of like seven black guys who swear they're like the original Jews.
Yes. Yes. What is that called?
Black Israelites.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, there's like black Israelites and then there's 5%ers?
5% is Muslim.
That is Muslim.
Yes, yes, yes.
But that's people who believe that they're 5% of God.
So I met a guy who was a 5%er, and I thought it, now this is how ignorant I am. Mm-hmm, I was like.
I don't know anything.
I was like, does that mean you only practice 5% of the religion? and he was like, no, 5%ers consider themselves to be able to unlock spiritually the 5% of like understanding that the rest of us don't.
Oh.
And I was like, you might be right because I don't understand what you just said.
Yes. Yeah, unlock my brain so I can understand just you.
Yes.
That's so... Do you only date Muslim men?
I was just about to say I dated a Muslim guy once.
Mm-hmm.
Once, and his name was Muhammad, and mm-hmm. my name is Zainab, and in the Quran, Zainab marries Muhammad. And so he just thought that it was like
it was it.
Yeah,
it was
like it was written. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, no. I was like in college and, you know, really liking a guy named Kevin. Like, you know, it's like
Kevin.
I was like, yeah, like Kevin or Keith or some regular ass.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I've other than that, that was short lived. I've never dated a Muslim guy. Mm-hmm. And it would be ideal to marry a Muslim person,
mm-hmm.
but only when I think about children.
Okay.
I don't kind of worry about it because I feel like my parents raised me to be very open minded.
Mm-hmm.
And like I took like a history of religion course when I was in college, and that sort of opened up my mind
mm-hmm.
to all the religions. So I'm never anywhere like, you can't believe this. It's like, practice what you practice. You're not hurting anybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're like a decent human being. I can get with that. I'd rather somebody who's a completely different faith than me, but be a great person, a mm-hmm. nice person, have high morals than somebody who's like, I'm a Muslim, I'm a Christian, but I kill people, you know? Like, nobody wants that.
No. And can I ask?
Of course. Ask me anything.
Sorry. I'm just so interested. I don't think I've never been in the space where I'm like, ooh, I can ask all my Muslim questions. Also, I don't know the demographic of the people who listen to this, so this might be interesting for them.
Mm-hmm.
The women who cover up, is that just like a different level of Muslim or...
No, I wouldn't say that it's a different level. Like, I would never say that a woman, just because she wears hijab, believes more than I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's just about what you want to do. It's about how you want to sort of practice. It's simply what it
and
is.
And it's just a modesty thing,
it's
right?
It's a modesty thing. And I think also, too, like, I'm not a married woman,
mm-hmm.
but I imagine that might be a bit more imposed on a woman by the male mm-hmm. in her life, you know? But it's all religions are strict. That's what's yes. so interesting. You know, like everybody, because you know, Muslim women, some hijabs, like, you know, the burqa and stuff like that, cover your complete face mm-hmm. and things like that, think that, oh, like, Muslims are these, like, oppressed women. That mm-hmm. But it's like, no, those three books, the Torah, the Bible, they say the same mm-hmm. Kind of the same things, you know, like you're supposed to be modest in church too.
Yes,
you're
you
supposed
are.
To be, but nobody
well,
does.
Christians, I feel like a lot of Christians are very removed from, you know, yeah. the church and whatnot.
Yeah.
And then there's a lot of women who like go to the club on Sunday or Saturday.
Yeah.
And you would never know they go to church on Sunday.
Yeah.
So I think women who wear hijabs are just practicing their modesty at all times.
Exactly. I wore hijab all the way up until I was like 14 years old. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I do wear it when, just out of respect, I wear it whenever I go to like the mosque, mm-hmm. you know, I wear hijab. But I wore it every single day until I was 14.
Was that, where did you grow up?
New York.
Oh, so it wasn't hard?
No.
Nobody said shit?
Oh, no.
Yes?
It was, I went to school with mostly Jewish kids.
Oh, okay.
And I was, there was never another, like, I imagine now you see more Muslim kids mm-hmm. in school, but I was always the only Muslim girl in my class.
Oh.
Yeah, there was never, the other Muslim mm-hmm. kids in the school were my siblings. Like, yeah.
See, I would have thought that New York just had more.
I think they do, but maybe just like, I, you know, I grew up in Harlem. I used to be bused out of the neighborhood. Like, I was in Gifted and Talented. Mm-hmm. So I didn't go to a school where the demographic looked like me at all. Uh-huh. Like, not only was I wasn't just the only Muslim, but at times I might have been one of two Black kids mm-hmm. in the class or something, you know?
Interesting. I did not know that about you.
Yeah.
I also grew up with just a bunch of white kids yeah. around. I also just learned that Hasidic Jewish women wear wigs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I did not know that.
Not just Hasidic, because it's Hasidic and Orthodox.
Oh, yes.
But yeah, they wear wigs. They have to shave their head. It's
yes.
A, yeah.
Which is like another, it's like modesty,
yeah.
right?
Or... But unlike us, they get wigs that almost look exactly
yes.
like their hair. So
yes.
you do. I mean,
so
some of them
know.
Look like, why well, is it so
like,
stiff?
Girl.
yeah.
Girl. Get you a black friend.
That's,
get
yes.
me to the beauty supply shop.
Yes. But some of them have, like, great wigs.
Mm-hmm. I was in Tel Aviv years and years and years and years ago, which mm-hmm. is apparently, like, the hair capital for Jewish women.
Okay.
And these wigs are expensive.
Yeah.
Thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's really interesting what religions ask of you.
Which I think is sort of the same thing. Like, if you think about it, a Jewish woman covering her hair is the same as a Muslim woman
yes.
covering her hair.
Absolutely.
It's just in a different, it's almost like they're like, well, we'll cover it in this way and we still fit like in normal society.
Mm-hmm.
You can't identify us easily, you know?
Yes.
And I imagine their history probably has something to do with that,
mm-hmm.
you know? And Muslim women, it's not the same. It's like, this is the way we cover up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now with the trend of the headscarf, like, who can tell?
Yes, who fucking knows? I do love a headscarf.
I did too.
Not like them growing up. I did not like having to wrap my hair up at night because I would go to sleepovers. My little white friends didn't have to do anything like that. And growing up, I think I spent a lot of time being like, I'm not different. I'm just like you.
Yeah.
And the older I get, the more I embrace the differences. The more I'm like, I want to be different.
Yeah.
I like to look a little, I'm wearing leopard print pants and little Vans with fire flames on them because I like it. I like mixing patterns. I like to not look like everybody else now.
Yeah.
But ooh, growing up, I truly just wanted to not stand out because my skin made me stand out so
yeah.
much.
Yeah.
Do you like to date men of the same ethnicity or different ethnicity? Does it matter?
I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care at this point. Like, I find myself attracted to all different types of men, and I'm more so interested in how they treat me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, you could be fine as shit, but if you could be fine as shit and you could be black, and you could, if you say, like, I don't eat vegetables, I'm like, I can't date him, you know? I can't date him. I found myself, yeah, like, you know, books are stupid. Like, I won't be able to date you. Mm-hmm. I found myself maybe like 3 years ago at this point dating a guy who was white, Mormon, Republican.
Whoa. How on earth did you meet?
We actually met on Tinder.
All right.
But, so I've never actually dated on Tinder before. Mm-hmm. The show asked me to do a piece for them, like a relationship show asked me to do a piece. And so I had to sign up for Tinder and they wanted to see like, oh, is Tinder what everybody's saying it is? Uh-huh. And so I was like, first of all, it was too much work for me. It's like everybody wanted to talk all the time and then you had to like let them know you'd be right back. And I was like, I don't have time for this, right? So I taped this show and there were two guys of like the 40 different guys and couples that I was talking to because people try.
There's a lot of couples
swing.
On there who are like, we're just looking for a playmate.
Yeah.
Like, ugh.
So there were like maybe two guys that I was really like genuinely enjoying the conversation. He was one of them. And then there was another guy who I knew I could never date. I think he was just like gay and didn't know.
Sure.
You know? And I'm like, you're great, but you don't like
you
women.
You got a secret that you got to share with yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so when I taped this show, but I realized while I was taping the show that their sort of angle was to make fun of the people who date on Tinder. It wasn't like the pitch meeting was like different. The pitch meeting, like all the female producers were like, maybe you'll find love. And the guys was like, well, maybe he'll show up with a rocket. And you know, like the guys wanted like the weirdest things. And the women were like, worst case, you find your soulmate, you know? So when I realized that, because I was having these like legitimate conversations with these two guys, I was like, I'm not going to include them in on this, right? I shoot the show. As soon as we wrap, I delete Tinder.
Yes.
I undo my, goodbye. I even reset my phone to the factory settings because I wasn't sure. I wanted to make sure it was gone.
That is so
thorough. That sounds like, let me just make sure this is off. And my friend of mine was like, what happened to the guy? I was like, oh, I didn't tell him. I was like, but I mean, he knows my name. If he really wants to date me, he can find me on social media. So like a couple of weeks passed and I noticed that he like liked a bunch of my Instagram pictures. And I told my friend, I'm like, he liked a bunch of my pictures. He was like, oh, he wants to date you. I was like, no, he wants to like a lot of my Instagram pictures. So then a girl that I know, she was like, have you checked your Instagram DMs? I sent you something. And I was like, oh, no. And so I checked it. And you know how you can have a lot of requests? And if you don't follow the people, it doesn't let you know that you have these requests.
No, you have to like go to a different page or whatever.
And the only reason why I did that was because her thing wasn't coming through. So I was looking for her and realized he had sent me these messages weeks back. And we talked. As soon as I responded to him, I apologized. I was like, I was dating for a show and, you know, just doing a piece for a show. And I apologized. And he was like, oh, so was it all fake? And I was like, well, no, if it was all fake, I would not feel the need to even respond to your message. I genuinely enjoyed conversing with you. But I just, you know, that's just what it is. And he was like, oh, okay, well, if you're open to it, I would still love to like meet you for drinks or take you to dinner. And then that happened. We met for drinks really like briefly. Then he asked me to dinner after that. We went to dinner and then we dated for a little while.
Wow. Yeah. How long did you date?
Maybe like 4 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's like a good chunk of time for truly just talking to someone on a whim.
Yeah. And then after that, there were definitely some cultural differences.
Yes. He's like a Mormon white guy who's a Republican.
Yeah. But even just like I would be speaking passionately and he would be like, calm down. You're being aggressive. And I'm like, if you only knew.
Truly. If I was being aggressive, you would be dead.
Like, yes. You know?
I hate that a black woman specifically cannot be impassioned about something without being labeled aggressive or angry or whatever, or hostile or whatever. I was called a bitch once because I spoke my mind on something with a bunch of executives and then my manager told me that I should apologize because I came off as a little mean. And I said, a bitch. And he went, your words, not mine. And mm-hmm. I said, sure. So I emailed and I was like, if you felt that I was coming across a certain type of way, it's because I felt X, Y, and Z, and just reiterated what I was saying. And I was like, I'm not a bitch because I know what I'm talking about and I know what I want. Mm-hmm. Assertive, yes. Mm-hmm. Bitch, no. Mm-hmm. Rude, no. Mm-hmm. It's... Yes, but
yeah. So we had those things, and I'm one of those, like I speak my mind. Usually, mm-hmm. I'm pretty mellow, like my energy is pretty mellow, and but so sometimes I can get away with saying like certain things, but because my tone is a bit mm-hmm. chill, you know. But I remember on the first date when he told me he was a Mormon Republican, but he was also adopted. Like he had a lot mm-hmm. going on. I was like, wait. Mormons are the ones that think black people are aliens, right? Because, I mean, how can we have a relationship if I don't?
That.
Oh, really?
No.
Yes.
Mormons think black people are aliens?
Yeah.
Who came down to Earth and said, please enslave us?
Yes. It was, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it was, I'm sure I worded it very loosely. But it's uh-huh. like, I just said, like, what, like... I mean, this is who I am. Mm-hmm. So if this is a first date, if you have a problem with this, then this is, you know, you find out early. Uh-huh. I cannot deal with this woman. Anywho, we dated for like a couple of months. And then after I got it, maybe a couple of months after that, he tried to like date me again.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like newly in a relationship. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, hey, you want to, he actually texted me and said, hey, I was like, hey.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, the universe told me, he said, I've been thinking about you and the universe told me to like reach out to you. And I said, oh, don't listen to the universe. That bitch be lying. And he did not text. You know how you don't know how to respond
uh-huh.
to that? He didn't text back for like 45 minutes.
Oh, I love it.
And then he must have got like coaching from his friend or something
probably.
Like that. And then text back, laugh out loud. I'm like, you need help with a laugh out loud. So then he was like, you know, if you're open to it, I would like to like meet for drinks or whatever. And we went to this restaurant that I really wanted to try because mm-hmm. you ain't going to waste my time. I don't know what you're trying to do. And he was like talking to me and I was like, wait, like at the table, I was like, wait, are you trying to like rekindle something?
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, oh, because I said something about the guy that I was seeing because uh-huh. I thought we were catching up.
Yes.
And he said, oh, well, that sucks for me. And I was like, wait, what
is this?
Yeah, I was like, were you trying to rekindle? And he was like, yeah. I was like, oh, okay, well,
sorry.
Yeah. I don't know if I would have done it even if I wasn't in a relationship because mm-hmm. I'm not the go backwards type of person.
Fair. How can I ask how it ended before you went out again? So why did you stop dating the first time?
It was like a miscommunication that got really sort of just out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just kind of like, I used to do this relationship podcast and I vented about this situation
uh-huh.
and he was an avid listener.
Oh.
And at first he liked listening because mm-hmm. I had very positive things to say about
mm-hmm.
him. But this episode, mm-hmm. after he pissed me off mm-hmm. and I needed, my co-host was a guy, so I just needed I needed to know if I was bugging.
Uh-huh.
So I'm on this podcast like, and he said he's gonna stay with his neighbor. And I'm thinking this is really literally the conversation. I'm like, he said he was going to stay with his neighbor. And I'm thinking a neighbor, if you live in an apartment building, is somebody that lives in your apartment. His neighbor is like a few miles away. Is that a neighbor? Like, the,
mm-hmm.
you know, and my guy friend was like, I mean, that's not a neighbor to me, but maybe that's a neighbor. Mm-hmm. Anywho, I'm just like venting my frustrations on the podcast because
yes.
last time I vented my frustration to him, he told me I was being aggressive.
Uh-huh.
So I took it to the podcast.
So if you think this is aggressive, I will talk
yes,
to somebody
else
and you can listen to it.
Yes. And so then after that, it just like slowly, like just, mm-hmm. you know, just fizzled
faded
out.
Away. Yes.
Yeah.
So that's your only dating on like online date. Oh, wait. First, we should take a break. Today and every day, Planned Parenthood is committed to ensuring that everyone has the information and resources they need to make their own decisions about their bodies, including abortion care. Lawmakers who oppose abortion are attacking Planned Parenthood, which means affordable, high-quality, basic health care for more than 2 million people is at stake.
The right to control your body and get the healthcare everyone needs has been stolen. And now politicians in nearly every state have introduced bills that would block people from getting the sexual and reproductive care they need. Planned Parenthood believes everyone deserves healthcare. It's a human right. And that's why they fight every day to push for common sense policies that protect your right to control your own body and against policies that interfere with decisions between patients and their doctors. Planned Parenthood needs your support now more than ever. With supporters like you, you can help reclaim your rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future. That's PlannedParenthood.org/future. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, there's always something that I really need to talk about, and thank God I have a podcast, but then there's stuff that I don't want to reveal publicly. So I talk to a therapist, and listen, we all carry around different stressors, big and small, and when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get stuff off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional cost. And I gotta say, that's very important because the first person you meet might not be good for you. So even though it's work, you gotta work to find someone who, like, is helpful and is good for you. So don't stick with someone just because you feel like you have to. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/date me today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/date me. Okay. Hey, did you know 1 in 5 Americans have learn a new language on their bucket list? If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste time on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned out in the real world. Babbel made it super easy for me to brush up on my Spanish before my vacation to Mexico. See how I said that? It's better, and it sounds like I speak Spanish. It just makes traveling better, so you can, like, order food, ask for directions, and flirt with the locals. Me encanta, muchacho! Without having to consult language apps while on vacation. Here's a special limited time deal for my listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for my listeners at babbel.com/date me. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/date me. Spelled BABBEL.com/date me. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
And now we're back! Okay, is that your only Tinder, Bumble, online dating experience?
I went on one other, and I can't remember which website it was. Maybe it was Match.com or something like mm-hmm. that. And this was shortly after, because this was in between. Because that one didn't go so bad, I was like, well, let me try. Mm-hmm. And a friend of mine is like an avid online dater. And I went out with this guy. He didn't really look anything like his.
Oh, no. Was he, like, uglier and fatter?
He looked exactly like his picture, but it was like he posted, like, his pictures were, like, the best version of him.
Yes, okay.
You know? Mm-hmm. And he was so polite. Mm-hmm. And I knew the moment that we sat down that I was not going to, and I didn't have the heart to just say, you know what, let's just not. Mm-hmm. So I just sat there and smiled and allowed him to enjoy himself because I'm great.
allowed him to enjoy himself. So, by just so being in your presence.
Yeah, so now you know what it's like to deal with me.
I love it.
Takes a certain type of guy.
I love it.
And then I just walked through, like, he was like, you know, I would love to, because up until our date, we only communicated through the app.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the end of the date, I think he felt like, well, if it goes well, you would give me your real number.
Yes.
And if he hears this, he might be a listener.
It's fine.
I gave it to him only because I am so confident in my block button on my iPhone. I knew, you know, I didn't have the heart to tell him no.
I don't even know if it's a politeness thing or just a conditioned woman thing.
Yeah.
Where you just feel the need to just give someone your number and sit through a fucking date.
Yeah.
Even though you don't want to, because I've done that before.
Yeah. You know what? I didn't want to. You see how I'm saying, like, oh, he was nice. And but I just wasn't attracted to him.
Yeah.
And, like, none of his niceness could change that.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt a bit shallow. And so I
don't think that's a shallow thing, because when you first meet someone, you either are attracted to them and like, I want to be their friend, or like, ooh, I want to date them. Or you're like, ugh, this person is not for me. And I think that's okay.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a shallow thing, because I don't think it's at face value.
Yeah.
I think when you meet someone, you get their energy, you get what they're bringing to the table almost immediately. And people always put their best foots forward. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you're not into that best foot, then, like, the other foot's probably going to be bad.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
Right?
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
Yeah, people are on their best behavior the moment you meet them.
Yeah.
So if you meet someone and you're like, ugh.
Yeah.
No.
Well, now I don't feel bad at all.
Don't. Don't. Never feel bad. I say never feel bad about how you treat a man unless you kill him. And then, like, feel bad because, like, that's bad.
Yeah.
You kill somebody, you got to go to jail
murder,
now.
Right?
You bad?
Exactly.
Very bad. So are you in a relationship now?
No.
The way you answered that, I thought you were gonna say yes. It looked like you were nodding yes, and you went, no. Are you looking to be in a relationship, or are you just chilling?
I like a guy that, the way my friend put it, she said he doesn't like you enough.
Okay.
I really like him. My relationship ended at the end of last year.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a little bit of, like, lingering, like, you know,
yes.
Just. And so that's probably stopped in the past, like, 2 months, like, no conversation, no connecting, anything. And this guy, I've been sort of hanging out with him a little bit, and he told me. He said that he was hesitant to date me.
Okay.
And he said that he was emotionally unavailable.
Okay.
And I know he likes me.
Mm-hmm.
I think he likes me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But my friend said, well, not enough to give you what you want, so.
I think your friend is right.
Yeah.
And I think my friend's mom said, men don't lie.
Mm-hmm.
Men tell you exactly what they mean.
Mm-hmm.
And I think him saying he's emotionally unavailable, I think he's telling you that he's not available for you.
Yeah.
Which sucks.
Yeah.
That's the thing that you hear and you're like, why?
Yeah.
Why not?
Because it makes you feel like, it almost makes you feel like you're doing something wrong. It makes you feel like you're not enough. It's like, why?
Yes.
What do you mean you're not emotional? And then emotionally available, see, like, because I like I said, I get right to the point. So, like, what does emotionally available, unavailable mean? Does that mean you're actually in a relationship?
Yes.
Because, well, he's not going to say that.
Mm-hmm.
He'll never say that. He'll never say, I have a girlfriend.
I have a girlfriend. I'm in a relationship. Yeah, does emotionally unavailable mean, like, I just don't want to connect with you? I have no desire to.
Well, he said that the type of relationship that he knows that he would have with me, or that a person should have with me, he can't do that right now.
That's so frustrating.
That's for the get the
right.
Anywho,
yes.
But so the issue for me is we've tried to be friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoy his friendship, but that only makes me like him more.
I think you gotta. Well, you've had no interaction the last couple months. And I think that's how you gotta.
Oh, no, we've had interactions.
Oh, you have?
Yeah. I've interacted with him in the past 2 weeks.
You shouldn't.
But I realized at the end of the last in-person interaction, and I've never done anything with this guy, mm-hmm. But I realized, I was like, whenever we hang out, at the end of it, I'm thinking, is he going to kiss me or not? Mm-hmm. And that's, the men who are truly my friend, that is, I'm never.
If
that crossed my mind, I'm going to be like, you know? So.
I dated this guy for a little bit. And then we fizzled out. He said that he wanted to concentrate on things in his life that did not include me. Mm-hmm. And then we like kept texting. And then I made the choice. I was like, I'm going to tell him that I've been thinking about him in like a way that like I'd like to, you know, start dating again. And then he was like, oh, I have a girlfriend. And I was like, but I thought you were okay. And then he recently texted to be like, you're really crushing it. I watched this show that you were on and you're just so funny. And then we like started talking again. And I really wanted to say, why did you text me that? Why did you think I needed to know your thoughts and your feelings about something that has nothing to do with you? You did that so I would think about you again and then like ask to date you again so then you would feel great and then be able to turn me down again. Was that your master plan? Because you've made me feel crazy. And but I didn't say anything, of course.
Uh-huh.
Of course I said, and I should have been like, new number, who's this? Or like something to be like, you're a piece of shit.
Yeah.
But instead I like talked to him and then we talked for a little bit. We talked for a couple days and then it faded away.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want me. And I don't understand why.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's something about me that keeps you around. You watched a whole series that I did.
Have you had him on your podcast?
No, but I'm going to.
Yeah, and then you can ask him.
Yeah.
What is it?
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Truly, because, like,
I can imagine that you're a bit intimidating, Nicole, though. I can imagine that.
Yes.
I don't know who this guy is or what type of guy. Like, forget your personality, because you have a large personality, mm-hmm. which I think is great, though. And you are not shy about all the dicks that you want to like guzzle down.
I love them.
Yeah. Like, and I think that, like, me, I'm like a prude. I'm like, dick, huh? What's that? You mean penis? You know, like, I'm totally shouldn't be attractive, or people shouldn't like me, rather. But you're successful. You are confident, you're strong, you are, you know what I'm saying? You're all of these things, and publicly, mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot of women who have a lot of going on for themselves, but nobody, nobody knows about it mm-hmm. besides her partner and who her family, but you're in the public eye, and I can just imagine that that's, you speak very freely. I think mm-hmm. that if I was a guy and I liked you, I'd have to love your quirks so much, because I'd have to accept, like, I am potentially going to be a bit, a mm-hmm. story. I will be public, you know, like what I do will be. Yeah. And that takes a really secure person.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm finding out that a lot of guys aren't secure.
It is insane that we've been fed a lie that men are like providers and they're strong and they're secure. And it's like, no. Men are little itty bitty babies who can't barely figure out how to fend for themselves. And they are so fucking insecure, especially in comedy. The longer I do comedy, the more I find out that men in comedy specifically don't want to give you your due. They don't want to say you're funny. Just funny. They want to say you're funny for a girl, or they want to date a non-comedian who worships the ground they walk on. And I don't think I could ever date a stand-up specifically, because I'm not doing that. I don't give a like, we're successful in our own rights. We're funny in our own ways. I'm not going to suck your dick all day long and tell you that you're good and you're worthy and you're funny and whatnot. But yeah, like anytime I go up at the improv and there's a male comic who is more successful than me, I'll get off stage and I'll like grab my bag or whatever. And they'll be like, hey, wow, you're really funny for a girl. Or they'll just be like, wow, you're really funny. And I'm like, you've seen me before. We've met before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't need your validation.
I can't believe another comedian is still in 2018 saying you're really funny for a girl.
All the time. All the time.
Wow.
It's so, and or you'll be on lineups where you're like the only girl.
All the time. All the time.
At the Laugh Factory, I had one guy bring me up who was like, oh boy, this little lady, she's so cute and she's funny. And I was like, cute. And then he said, we're going to get a dose of estrogen. Welcome to the stage, Miss Nicole Byer. I was like, you found a way to like feminize every part. Like you put a yes. Miss in front of my name.
Yes.
You said estrogen, the shit that's up in my body.
Yes.
You said I was cute and funny. I was floored and then started my set in a hole because I was like, yep, a lady's on stage. I'm going to mop the floor with it. I was just so angry. And then, you know.
Oops, I'm bleeding.
Yeah, my fucking period fell out on the floor. Well, I'm slipping in it. And then, you know, you got to do a fucking half hour because no one lights you correctly at the Laugh Factory.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I just, being a lady in comedy, it's hard. Mm-hmm. Do you find it hard?
Yes, I do, but I don't. I do. I definitely do. But I try not to think about it. I don't know if that's like a naive thing to say.
No.
But it's like I kind of find it a bit difficult to be a lady in the world.
Sure, yeah.
And so comedy is just a subset of this like fucked up ass place that we live in, mm-hmm. you know? And so I just, it's like, I mean, I get people all the time, like people in the audience, like they'll start out with, yo, I usually girls ain't funny.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, sir, where are we going with this?
Yeah, where are we going? Why are you saying this to me?
Yeah, well, I don't know what to do. I don't know if I should rally for all the other women that I know that are funny. Should I just be polite and say that? Like, should I be flattered? Like, I don't know.
Started saying, oh, yeah, there's tons of women who are funny. If you just go on YouTube and type in my name, you'll get a whole slew of other women who are hilarious. And
yeah.
Like, really? I'm like, do you not know how YouTube works? They'll give you a bunch of suggested videos.
Yeah.
Have you ever fucked an audience member or like a chuckle fucker?
No. Fuck no. I had one. I did start dating, but nothing happened. A guy, I was performing at the Comedy Store, and but this guy's an actor. I won't say, mm-hmm. I will not say his name.
Okay.
But this guy's like an actor, known
Ooh.
Working actor. And he sent somebody else up, like DM'd me and was like, hey, do you know so-and-so? And I was like, who's that? And the person was laughed out loud because they're like, if mm-hmm. he only knew that you did not know who he was. And so then he was like, you know, this guy. And I said, oh, from that show. Okay. Mm-hmm. It was like, oh, he likes you. And I was like, okay, sure. You can give him my number. Mm-hmm. And we went out like a couple of times, but that's it.
He probably loved that you didn't initially know who he was.
I don't know if the guy ever
probably.
Told him. Okay.
Probably.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he was like hard. He was like, oh, she doesn't know me. I gotta prove to her why people know me. I love that.
But no, I don't. I don't think that people would even approach me after I don't think a guy is going to ask me out after he sees me on stage.
Mm-hmm.
I
think you're just so funny.
I mean, thank you. And I agree. But I was in El Paso a month or so ago. And these two guys, the entire audience, El Paso is Mexico, basically. Mm-hmm. So the entire audience was like Spanish. And then there was these two big ass black guys. And I was like, where do you live in in this geographic, you know, space? And they was like, oh, we here to see you. The one guy said, oh, I'm here to see you. And I said, well, okay. Then his friend said, yeah, we here to see you. And I was like, sir, that sounds like a gang rape. Okay, you should stop. I was like, your friend beat you to it.
Uh-huh.
You got to just let
him
have
tagging it. Tagging along.
Yeah.
Just be like, less aggressive.
Yeah, you think I'm going to be like, well, what are we doing after? And then after the show, they came up to me and was like, so what are you doing? Like, where are you staying? What are you? And I was like,
mm-mm.
You know? But no, I don't date chuckle fuckers.
Mm, okay. That's or
fuck
aggressive.
Chuckle fuckers.
Fuck chuckle fucks.
Yeah.
Fuck chuckle fucks. That's aggressive to come up and be like, where are you doing? Where are you staying? What's going on?
Yeah.
I don't. Traveling alone as a black woman just in this country is scary enough without someone hounding you as to mm-hmm. where what you're doing later, where you're staying.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that. That's not.
Yeah. Mm-mm. But I also, too, I need to really like you. I am totally like a liberated person sexually, but I cannot have sex with a person I'm not connected to. And so I don't care how attractive you are. I don't care how attractive I may be to you. I don't care what you have, what you're doing. If I don't, like, I got to almost love you to want to do it to you. That's just me.
I just learned, because Janelle Monáe just came out as pansexual.
Yes.
And I just learned that pansexuality is loving someone regardless of gender, but also having a connection with them.
Okay, I'm not pansexual.
No. But I was like, where does that fall for, like, heterosexuality or homosexuality? Why is pansexual essentially, people are probably gonna get mad if I say this, but, like, to me, pansexuality seems like bisexuality, just with a little addition that's like,
yeah, like,
but we have to connect.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe I got it wrong. Maybe I wasn't really understanding what was being said, but that's what it seemed like to me. But then I'm like, what about heterosexual people who, because there's a ton of people who identify as straight or heterosexual or whatever, who only have sex when there's, like, a deep connection or date someone when there's a deep connection. I guess that's monogamous, but that's just like having one partner. Like a serial monogamist? I don't know.
No, because a serial monogamist is just having one partner. Oh, like, that's just your, you know, pattern. I don't, you know what, Nicole? I don't even care. I'm like, I don't need anything. Like, I know who you don't have to, you don't have to put any word, any prefix in the sexual, you know, like, I just operate the way I operate, and that's just it. You want to give it a name? Cool. But if it doesn't have a name,
I guess I'm just curious because everything else has a name. So I'm like, why doesn't this have a name?
Yeah.
I don't know. But
marriage?
I also.
No, I
yeah,
don't
know. I don't know. I'm of the school of, like, I'm attracted to everybody. I will fuck anybody once. Samantha Jones on Sex and the City said she's trisexual. She'll try anything once. That's how I feel about me. But I don't want to be pansexual. I don't want to be bisexual. I don't want to be, I just want to be me and live.
But you have sex with women?
I've had sex with women in the past, and I'm open to it in the future. I just don't want to limit, and I'm not generally, like, I don't walk in the streets like, ooh, that lady's hot.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll be like, oh, she's so pretty. I bet her arms are smooth. And, like, that's as far as the thoughts go for me.
Yeah.
I think with women, I have to speak to the woman and, like, get a feel.
Yeah.
Before, whereas, like, men, I can look at men and be like, oh, daddy. Yeah. Ooh, if only.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm pansexual with women and straight. I don't know. I for a long time was like, I'm a straight lady and I love dicks. But then I, like, had sex with a woman and I liked it. And then I said, why would I close a door to something? Who knows? I might meet a woman and she might be the love of my life. And I just closed that door and it's not going to happen because I just closed the door. So I keep the doors open for everybody. Yeah, because I think for me, I think I could fall in love with anything. Anything, anybody. You know, I could fall in love with a book, a lamp, a shelf.
I guess, especially now, I just subscribe to, like, to each his own. I really believe, like, whatever you want to do, do it as long as it's not hurting anybody. You know, like, you know, like, he murders you after he sexes you. Like, no, like, or whatever, you know. As long as, like, it's making you happy and it's allowing you to vibrate in the world positively, then I'm with it.
I like that. Vibrate in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to have a lot of, like, things that were on my list. I'd be like, he needs to be taller than me. He needs to be a little bit bigger than me. He needs a lot of physical attributes. But the older I get, the more I'm like, financially stable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Down to have fun.
Yeah.
And treats me nice. Like, I don't think treats me nice ever crossed my mind up until, like, last year.
Yeah.
Because for, like, 3 years, I had this on and off again thing with this man who literally treated me like a cum dumpster. He would call me when he needed me. And if I needed him, he was just not there. And after that ended, I just like had a moment in therapy where I was like, I think I want a man who's nice, who's nice to me, who maybe is just nice and treats me well.
Yeah.
And it's nice.
Yeah.
She was like, yes.
How did it end with him? Like, did you have to, did you just wake up one day and was like, okay, I've had enough?
So he started dating a girl. So after like 2 years, the 2 year point hit, and I said to him, I was like, I want to be in a relationship. I want to date. I want to like go out more and like not just fuck and just like be together like normal people. He mm-hmm. said, great. Okay. And it was good. We were texting all the time. We hung out, and I had to go to New York for a job, and I was going to be in New York for a month. Mm-hmm. And I didn't like the job at the time. And I said to him, I said, will you come visit me in New York? He said, absolutely. I was like, this is happening. I have a boy who's coming to see me, and it's great. And he like really seems to care about me, and it hasn't been all in my head, and he does like me. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, can you tell me the dates that you're coming? He tells me the dates, and then I said, give me your, like, age, birthday, blah, 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 because I was going to buy his fucking ticket. Mm-hmm. And then he says, actually, I can't come. I'm working on my album. The last 2 weeks I'm in New York, the texts are slowing down, we're not communicating as often. I get back to L.A., and I say, we're not talking as much. What is happening? He said, I met somebody, and we're dating. And I said, why would you do that if we were dating? And he's like, I'm really sorry. And then he moved in with that girl. And then he moved away from L.A., and then he moved back and then started contacting me. And I was like, well, maybe this will be good. And then we, like, fucked again. And then more time passed where he just was not reachable, and I would text him and nothing. And then a couple months ago, he texted me, and then I texted him back. I was like, I can't do this anymore. We can't have sex anymore. We can be friends, which I did not mean. And I was like, I just can't let you hurt me anymore because that's what you've been doing. Mm-hmm. And then he said, I don't understand where you're coming from. So then I listed bullet points, all the things he had done to me over the years. And I said, and I just can't accept this anymore. It was okay for a while, but now it's not. Mm-hmm. And then he was like, I'm really sorry. We should go out for coffee. I owe you an apology. I want to explain myself on some of these things. And I was like, sure, knowing full well that he would not follow through on it. And we set a date and he canceled. And I have not talked to him since. And wow. Sometimes I really, and he stopped posting on social media. So I legit don't know what he is doing anymore. And I don't know.
Yeah.
But like, I really, really cared about him deeply, and he did not give two shits about me.
Mm.
But that's the way it goes. But we do have to wrap this up.
Okay.
Do you have anything you want to plug?
Well, you said it at the beginning, but I would really love people to listen to my podcast, which is Honest Tea with Z. It's mm-hmm. on iTunes and SoundCloud and anywhere where there's podcasts, I believe. And check out my website, which is zainabjohnson.com. And you guys can see, like, I'm always on the road. And so you can see when I'm coming to a city near you. So check it out.
And go.
And on social media, I am at Zainab Johnson, Z-A-I-N-A-B Johnson. So check me out.
Yes, please follow her on Instagram so you can see this beautiful skin I was talking about in the beginning. She looks incredible. Also, if you do get a chance to see her in person, you should go. Zainab is so funny. And not to plug my show, but she plays a stripper in this episode. And we wrote it in the room. And the way you did it was how we wrote it. It was just so perfect.
Oh, good, so good. Thank you. Perfect. I had so much fun doing it.
My God.
And you guys made me look so pretty. When I watched it, I was like, oh, you're cute.
You looked gorgeous. And then you were just so fucking funny.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, boy. What a treat. Thank you for having me. And if you liked this episode and you like my podcast, please rate and subscribe it on iTunes or wherever you're listening to podcasts. And if you hit on me or say something nasty, I will read it on the podcast. So Peggy Sus, she said, from big lady to big lady, I just want to smush our big slippery bodies together. Nicole, will you have a three-way with me, please? let's see. Okay, Booch 12 said, maybe I'm just a person can maybe I'm just a person can calm an extrovert down. Oh, maybe I'm just a person that can calm an extrovert down. Nicole, if I wasn't gay, I'd ask to slap my head between your breasts in a sexual way. And then a lot of people have said, I wish I could say something nasty, but I just can't, which is very funny. Let's see. Like, yes, Spotify, yes, said, very funny. Can relate to your issues. Don't have anything crazy sexual to say, so I'm sorry. Which I think is so adorable. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at the coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Do you ever wonder how celebrities order food? Like, is Sarah Paulson a Diet Coke or a regular Coke girlie?
Some peasant Coke? No.
Or how does Sofia Vergara order a pizza?
No tomatoes. I cannot eat tomatoes.
Yes. Are you killed mushrooms?
Not really.
Okay. If these are the details you need, and I know you do, I have the podcast for you. I'm Jesse Tyler Ferguson, and on my podcast, Dinner's on Me, I take some notable friends of mine out to dinners in Los Angeles and New York City. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
That thing was delicious.